Good evening, horror fans. Tonight we're going to be talking about Fantasy Island, the new reimagined version, Blumhouse's 2020 edition. It's starring Michael Pena as Mr. Rourke, and we're going to talk about a little bit of the differences between the original television show and how we felt regarding the casting, but and also whether Fantasy Island, it's not necessarily an island where you go and get your fantasies fulfilled, but perhaps you get what you deserve and not necessarily what you want.
Thank you for joining us on another edition of Captain Groovy and the Final Girl.
Hey there.
As you can tell from the intro, the Final Girl is back. Yay!
Woohoo!
Glad to have you back on the podcast, Waves.
Oh, I'm back on my meds too, so we're good.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, sit back, relax, get a beverage, because we're going to be diving into Fantasy Island, Blumhouse's reimagined of the television show that was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Our childhood.
Yeah, starring Ricardo Montalban in the original one. Mm-hmm. And Hervé
Valenteva
as Tattoo.
I have no idea if I said that right.
Yeah.
It started with a V.
Yeah. So, anyways, it was kind of interesting. You know, I didn't know what to expect from this movie because I remember the television show. I just don't remember really watching it as a kid because it was kind of a little bit kind of like, obviously fantasy, but it was a little bit on the drama side. And if you guys all know Captain Groovy, he's all about comedy and horror. And when I grew up, I really didn't watch a whole lot of drama. But I think you watched the show.
Yes, it would always come on after Love Boat, right? I believe. And then I think it came on later too. So I had to like, my parents would have to let me stay up late. So I probably didn't watch it until, I did watch it though. Because I remember I kind of had a crush on Tattoo. I know that sounds weird, but I just thought he was so cute, you know. And every week he'd come running and you know there's people coming because he'd be like, the plane. It's like, oh, that was my favorite part.
Well, I'm glad he's not still around because, I mean, you would be coming home and he's like, Melissa. Then he'd be coming in.
Yeah. Giving you a hug. I got you. I don't need Tattoo.
Yeah. I got about, you know, a foot and a half over him.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how tall he was.
I just remember he didn't talk a whole lot. He didn't. Mr. Work. And Mr. Work had that. He was the sexy one, but he was a little too old for me. I thought Tattoo was, you know, just a, he wasn't that old, maybe, because I was a kid, so maybe that's why I thought he was cute. But he's probably, I think when I found out how old he really was, when I got older, I was shocked.
Yeah.
Because I think he was like in his 30s when he did that show or something. And I always thought he was a little kid like me.
Yeah, he was probably not too much younger than Ricardo.
Yeah, I don't think he was. I think they were. But yeah, that's one of the things I would like to talk about too with this film. It's like the casting. It would have been nice to have somebody play Mr. Rourke. That was more like Ricardo Montalban because he had like a sinister quality to him. He seemed very smooth, like a, you know,
like a player.
Yeah, like what was he doing? Like, and Michael Pena just didn't pull that. So
yeah. So okay, if you're not familiar with Fantasy Island, Blumhouse, you know, remade into kind of a horror movie. It was directed by Jeff Wadlow, who also directed the movie Cry Wolf back in 2005. He directed Kick-Ass 2, and he also directed Truth or Dare. The writers of this movie actually were some of the writers that was with him for Truth or Dare and with Kick-Ass as well.
What was Truth or Dare about? Have you seen that?
I've seen that.
What was, I have no, I mean, I keep thinking of a Madonna film from the 80s, but I'm sure that's, I don't think it was that Madonna film reimagined, right?
No, it wasn't. actually, you know, Lucy Hale, who happens to be in Fantasy Island, was actually in the movie Truth or Dare. She played the lead girl, and it was about you know, basically the game Truth or Dare, where just friends, if they survived, like the dare, they had to go and tell the truth, or if they tell the truth, it was basically went in circles.
It was like the game Truth or Dare.
Yeah, and but then like each of them would die, and then the game still circled around amongst, you know, whoever was remaining. There was like really, they're trying to figure out a way to end it. So, but that was, you know, Truth or Dare. So yeah, they brought on Lucy Hale, for Fantasy Island. And then, also you mentioned that Michael Pena played, Mr. Rourke. They also had a Maggie Q, for some of you guys who remember the TV show, Nikita, that was on USA, which was based off the, off the movie La Femme Nikita. So, you know, they had some pretty big names on here. They also had, Michael Rooker.
Oh yeah.
You know, you guys,
are you evil Walking Dead fans?
Yeah, and also if you a big fan of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yes,
he was in there. Also, if you're an old time horror film buff like me, you remember him as he was in the movie Henry, Portrait of a Serial Killer. And what else? Oh, and also they had Portia Doubleday, which people were saying, "Who is she?" She is the daughter of Frank Doubleday, and if you know me, I like all these quirky characters, because Frank Doubleday was in the movie Escape from New York, and he played the creepy guy Romero in there. So that's the only reason why that last name sticks with me. So,
okay. So that was her dad?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, but going back to what you're saying, I totally agree with you about the casting with Michael Pena. I mean, I like Michael Pena, you know, it's cool. But just for this role, I don't think he was the best fit.
No, not at all. And I think that had to carry the movie. I mean, you needed somebody that just kind of has charisma. And, you know, you just can't wait to see them on the screen. And he just seemed kind of like a... I mean, I guess he was trying to save his wife, right? So it was kind of like he even had some faults, or he had some holes in his character that made him where he wasn't so strong. He should have been more untouchable than he was. And I thought that maybe an older character would have been good too. I don't know. That was just my thoughts. I know we passed around some names earlier about who we thought would be good for that role. I know my thought was Antonio Banderas, although maybe they couldn't afford him. But, or he was probably maybe he off the wagon again, because I heard he's been drinking. I don't know if that's true.
No, I agree. I definitely think Antonio Banderas would have been a great... No, it's
Antonio Banderas.
Okay. I've been schooled.
Come on, you got to say it right.
Yeah. So I definitely think I agree with you on that. And I started to think, what other, you know, Latino actors they could have used. They were older in that role. And, you know, I mean, I really had to think about it, like, who could have been. But like you said, Antonio was probably too expensive. This other guy probably would have been way over expensive, Benicio del Toro.
Oh, he's too sinister, though.
You think he's too sinister?
Benicio del Toro, yeah. Or, no, maybe not. Okay, yeah, I was thinking of someone else.
Javier Bardem?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to have Javier Bardem, you might as well just have Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
You could go with either one. Yeah, but, yeah, I guess he could. I think I had mentioned to you also, I thought Giancarlo.
Oh, Esposito?
Yeah.
From Breaking Bad?
Yeah, because I really liked him in Breaking Bad.
He was good.
Gus, right?
Yeah, Gus. This,
yeah, Gus from Breaking Bad.
The other ones I started looking up, I was thinking, all right, if I was going to cast this and I was looking at my budget, someone that might be good but not cost so much to cast would have been Isai Morales.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what he looks like now, though. I mean, I picture an Isai Morales from, like, yeah, late 80s, early 90s.
La Bamba.
Yeah.
Bob.
Yeah.
I'll have to show you a picture of him. And the other guy I was looking up was Andy Garcia.
Oh, he's old.
You think he's too old?
Yeah.
How about Benjamin Bratt?
Ooh. Yeah, he could maybe do it. Yeah. I could see him.
So, but again, this is no disrespect to Michael Pena. Michael Pena is a good, you know, good actor. I mean,
he just looks like your good friend. He doesn't look like he, you actually look like you could trust him. That's why, maybe that's why they casted him, but he's actually like, he's kind of like the guy next door as opposed to, you know, the hot, sexy guy at the end of the block that wants to fulfill all your fantasies, you know?
He seemed too, like, too young for me.
Yeah.
You know, to me, because, you know, like I said, I didn't watch the show too much, but I remember watching the intros because it was after something, you know, and then, like, Fantasy Island come on, and I think my mom used to watch it. So it was always kind of, like, just seeing Ricardo, he kind of had this presence, you know, kind of like he's, you know, like an experienced guy who's, you know.
Well, he was kind of like a, he always had a white suit on that never got dirty. He always had a drink in his hand, too. That's the thing, too. I thought this movie was missing a lot of alcohol. I mean, they're on a tropical island. They need to have tropical drinks in their hand. It's like, yeah. Anyways. Yeah, he just always kind of had a drink in his hand, you know, kind of, you know. Yeah, he just reminded me of my, that the cool uncle, you know. But yeah, to me, it was like, Michael Pena was just like, he was too normal. Like, he didn't have that, like, vibe where you're not sure if he's real or not. Where Mr. Wark, he kind of just always popped into places, too, in the show. And it was almost like, is he real? Where's he, you know, and you always felt like he was hiding somewhere, you know, watching these people.
No, I agree. And then also, the fact when they started off the show, I mean, not the show, but the movie, it's like, I was expecting tattoo. They didn't even have a tattoo.
And, no.
You know, and I was like, how can you have Fantasy Island with Mr. Rourke without a tattoo?
Right, no sidekick. You can't have Batman without Robin. You can't have, like,
well,
he needed a sidekick.
I mean, they've done, you know, a bunch of Batman movies without Robin.
Oh, right, bad example. But, I don't know, there's definitely, you need a sidekick.
You, like, you couldn't have, like, the Justice League without Batman. You know, there's got to be Superman and Batman and Wonder Woman. If you're missing one of them, it just doesn't seem like a Justice League. Trying
to think of a good example, but yeah.
You can't have a Ben and Jerry's without a Jerry.
Yeah, or like Austin Powers without, you know, Mini-Me, or his Mini-Me, right?
Or how about,
he just needed something. He needed a, without the sidekick, he didn't seem, he just seemed, he didn't have that force, you know? He just seemed like a normal person.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite figure out the whole, you know, what they were doing there either at the island. It didn't really, they just kind of brought them there, didn't they? They didn't really have any leading up to it.
Well, I guess the story was like they saw, like an, you know, like an ad or something about the island. So they, you know, came to the island, you know, they got chosen or something. They applied and they got chosen to, you know.
Did they really define it, or they didn't really define it? I mean, they kept hinting at it in different ways, right? Because I was confused as to how, why some of them were there.
Yeah.
But
they all knew that they were going to be there and relive their fantasy. You know, live out of fantasy. And some of the fantasies were kind of a little bit strange.
You think so?
Well, I definitely think Gwen, who was played by Maggie Q,
mm-hmm.
where she wanted to relive her biggest regret. And that was kind of, that was vague mm-hmm. at first. And then they kind of show, you know, possibly, you know, the engagement.
Like she, her regret was not accepting the proposal.
Yeah. And then how she missed out on having a marriage, having a family, you know, a child. And then she had it all. And then she realized that wasn't her biggest regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and her biggest regret was not being able to help her neighbor from dying in the apartment fire.
Okay.
Which is why she kept having those flashbacks about, like, you know, or there were, everybody was kind of envisioning this, like, you know, somebody that was, like, this creature was, like, burning or something, mm-hmm. remember?
Yeah, it was kind of, didn't their fantasies kind of run into each other, too? So it was kind of confusing trying to figure it out. The thing I couldn't get over, though, was the two brothers, right? I guess they just came to party. Is that what they wanted? They wanted some, like, spring break party? I don't know. I couldn't figure out what their I thought they were actually, like I said, I thought they were gay lovers. I didn't know they were, I kept forgetting they were brothers, so.
Yeah, because one of them, because he adopted the other guy, played by Jimmy Yang, Brax, that was his name, Brax. Mm-hmm. And his brother, which was JD, he played the boyfriend on Two Broke Girls.
Okay.
Remember he was Andy, who had the candy shop?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember that now.
So, it was weird because it was almost like seeing, Andy from Two Broke Girls.
Well, he wasn't, it's like he didn't have, any machismo. To me, he was kind of a dorky guy. And yet, and I think his brother was gay, right?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, that was the reveal when they showed him,
Is that a spoiler alert?
I don't think it's a spoiler. I mean, if they're listening to this show, it's like, come on, we're going to break it down. So if you haven't seen it yet, you should, watch it. Or if you're not planning to see it, then, does it matter, I guess. But yeah, so when they're saying, oh, here's your party house, live up the fantasies. And then it's mm-hmm. Brax is like, oh, well, that's not going to work for me. And then they're like, oh, well, look over there. And there's like a bunch of, guys in there, I was going to say tidy whities, but those weren't tidy whities. They're like, banana hammocks or whatever you want to call them. So there was the, the little subtle reveal about, the brother being gay in there. And the whole, to me, some of them, like you said, the whole, spring break thing, to me, that was a little bit kind of on the weak side. It's like, is that really your fantasy to have this big, spring break, mm-hmm. orgy or whatever? And especially if that one JD, he was disappointed about his, I can't remember if it was his wife or girlfriend breaking up with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was the whole thing where the brother, Brax, felt bad that he was living with them or crashing with them. And he felt that he caused problems between, his brother and his, girlfriend. And the other thing is the revenge.
Oh, Lucy Hale.
Yeah.
I can't think of her character's name right now. But yeah, it's like, but then that was kind of as soon as she realized she was going to have to harm the other girl, she became her, her advocate. She wanted to save her. So it was kind of a really quick, all of a sudden it no longer became about hurting her. Now it was about the two of them trying to escape, right? That weird guy.
Yeah.
I don't know who he was.
Remember? Yeah.
The intern medical guy.
Yeah, the guy that was just trying to.
Yeah.
I don't even really know what to call him.
No. It was just, I think the writing was bad. The old Fantasy Island, the writing was really good. It was almost like every year, there was a twist every week. And so you were constantly trying to figure out, how their fantasy was going to end, because I want to say on the TV show, people would come to live out their fantasy, but their fantasy would always end up being not necessarily what they wanted, but it would be what they deserved. I don't know. Or it was just it still ended up being for the best. I don't think anybody ever left disappointed. It almost be like, I didn't get what I wanted, but I got something better. Or I got, this works too. Where in this movie, it was like people came for their fantasy and their fantasies were stupid to begin with. And then, or just not real good ones. And then they turned into some kind of weird nightmare. But I don't know. It was like there was something missing. That's all.
The one that, like I said, the biggest regret for Maggie Q's character about saving the neighbor, to me, that was kind of noble. Like I said, at first it was just kind of didn't know which way she was going until she finally found what she wanted. That made sense. And then the other one was the son trying to meet his dad.
Right. I will say those two storylines were actually the better of the four. Because I think there was four going on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those two were the better because they actually had heart to them. And even her, she did have a twist because it was that was more like the television show. It would be like, you know, you think you, this is the fantasy you have. You think this is the one you want to, and then you realize that, oh, I know that was, you know, this is what it was. So her fantasy, maybe that's the one that they wrote first, and then they added those other ones just because they needed to, you know, put a hot girl in there to attract the boys and put some hot boys, which they weren't really hot, to attract the girls. And I don't know if those characters were, yeah, it's like they were afterthoughts or something to try and attract a teen crowd as opposed to, I don't know. It just didn't all make sense.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, exactly what you're saying is like these people, they come to the island wanting to live this fantasy. And the whole premise, you know, like you're saying, of the show and also of this movie is the fact that your fantasies aren't always as they seem. So with the son wanting to be reunited with his father because his father was his war hero. So he had this whole, ever since growing up, he had this whole image of his dad just being this great, you know, hero, you mm-hmm. know, who died with his troops. Then he finds out that, you know, he actually ends up meeting his dad and he tells him exactly what happens. And at first, you know, the dad doesn't want to believe that that's his son.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole it gets twisted on him because it's like his dad's like, well, if now I know I'm going to die and I'm not going to be there for you and watch you grow up, forget it. I ain't going on that, you know, on that mission. We're going back.
Mm-hmm.
And his son is like, no, you're my hero. You know, I wanted to come and meet you. It's like, and all of a sudden his dad is like, no. I'm going to save myself, you know, so I can, you know, raise you,
yeah,
you know. So you don't, I mean, then I'm not missing part of your life. So his fantasy just kind of got, you know, turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't what he was expecting.
And then the other one we talked about, well, I guess the ones with the brothers, I didn't quite get the ending. Yeah. So I guess they did get to return home, right? Everybody got to go home at the end. Who died? I can't remember who died. I may have been in and out for like the last half hour. It was kind of hard to stay awake. It was not a great film.
Yeah, so I mean, what ended up happening is when Maggie Q's character told Mr. Rourke, you know, hey, I want to, you know, my biggest regret is not saving the guy, and she got to do the do-over, she still didn't get to save him.
Oh, that's right.
Even though that she tried. But it tied everybody together because it's like, well, these are all random people, all random stories.
Oh, that's right, because they were in the building, right? The two guys, yeah.
So when she relived it, she saw the two brothers running down the stairwell.
Yeah.
She went outside to go get the cop to help her go back in. And the cop was the son of the war hero. Yeah. And he was like, no, let's wait till, you know, the fire people, you know, come in. So she went back, tried to save him, but she couldn't.
Yeah.
So that's how it tied those people together. But it didn't tie Lucy Hale's character in it. Until it started, you know, towards the end where, yeah, she saved the bully. These people weren't there. The reason why they couldn't fulfill their fantasies is because they weren't there for their fantasies. It was Lucy Hale's character's fantasy because her fantasy was to make sure that each of them paid because the guy died, because ended up being that was a guy, you know, they tried to play it off that she was kind of crazy because she went on like a date or two with the guy that died.
Yeah.
So she was upset that, you know, he died and they all were there and they couldn't save him. So her fantasy was for them to all suffer and die.
That's right. I remember that part now because it was like, okay, another twist. It's like, all right.
Yeah. Sometimes when you throw too many twists in, it just kind of...
It confuses you. And if you miss a little teeny piece, you're like, I'm so confused and I'm just done with this film. I just want it to end. It's like, it was not like, you know, you're having a really good dream and you can't wait to go back to sleep so you can like finish it, or like, yeah, I was more like, I wanted to go to sleep and not wake up because I didn't want to watch it anymore.
Yeah.
And it would not have been a dream that I'd be like, oh, I need to finish this. And my fantasy is to never watch that movie again. And I have a fantasy too where they don't remake it again. Some things are better left not remade. And Fantasy Island was one of them. Yeah.
So at the end of the movie, you know, like I said, they had that big reveal. Lucy Hale's character actually ends up dying. The brother JD end up dying. I can't remember. Did this war hero's son die?
I think he did. I can't remember either, but
yeah, I can't remember. I think he might have. So, but I know the girl that was supposedly bullying, you know, Lucy mm-hmm. Hale's character. She, you know, she left.
Yeah.
Maggie Q left. Also, so even though JD died, he was able to go back home. But the only reason why he was able to go back home is because his brother Brax.
He sacrificed himself and stayed on the island.
Yeah. So in order for that to happen, he needed to stay on the island with Mr. Rourke.
Yeah. And then the big reveal was.
Yeah, because I'm just going to backpedal a little bit. It's like when they're trying to run away from all these people trying to kill him, they're waiting for someone to come out, right, to save them. Because they made a phone call to someone that actually owns a plane.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, look, it's the plane, you know, as he was running out. But the plane got blown up.
Yeah.
But anyways, when they were leaving the island, Mr. Rourke, you know, looked at him and was like, yeah, you got to stay on this island. You know, he goes, I don't know if Brax is a good name. You know, what do you have a nickname, you know, that we can call you, you know? And he goes, I do have a nickname, you know, for getting the worst, you know, ink done, you know, to myself. Uh-huh. And he goes, what is it? So he pulls open up a shirt, and what does it say?
Tattoo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they end it that way, and it's like, oh, so he's tattoo.
Yeah. Lame.
So.
It was funny, though. Actually, that was the most funniest part of the movie, the last 5 minutes. So that was the best part.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Are we had to be rank them? Or do we say what? I can't remember how this works at the end.
It's a work in progress.
Okay.
We usually give, you know,
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, you know, we rate it, you know. So IMDb, looking at the ratings here, gave it an average of 4.9 out of 10.
Ouch. And what was Rotten Tomatoes? I know it was bad.
I don't know. It doesn't list here. I'll have to.
It's a 0. I want to say it's a 7, but maybe I'm wrong. It's really low.
I mean, I think the movie was okay. I, you know, and honestly, I have seen
worse.
A lot worse movies. So, you know,
what was the budget?
The budget of the film. I will be able to pull it up here in a second. The budget is the magic number here. Okay, so here it is. The budget was only $7 million.
Only. That's pretty low, I guess. For nowadays?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, for that many stars, 7 million is quite low.
So, opening weekend, it made 12 million.
Oh, it made its money back then.
It did.
Holy crap.
So.
And then the second weekend, it must have did really bad because everybody heard how bad it was, right?
So, worldwide gross was 47 million.
That's not bad.
It's not too bad.
Okay. Yeah. What did it make total in the U.S., though?
I think it made, yeah, total gross in the U.S. was 26 million.
So the first weekend it made almost half of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, that I guess that would probably be considered a success then.
For Blumhouse, I think it does. Because if you think about it, you're only investing $7 million to make this movie. And you're able to, you know, pull out, you know, 47.
That's pretty good.
You know, and that's the thing with, you know, with horror movies, you know, they usually make it on the cheap. And if it does well, it's like a huge payoff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I'm sure it's not the biggest box office they were hoping for. But, you know, $47 million, that's nothing to, you know, to squawk about.
Nope.
Let's see. So, Fantasy Island on Rotten Tomatoes, 8%.
Oh, it's gone up since the last time I read. Okay. Yeah. It's 8%. Now, that's really, really bad.
Yeah.
So it probably won't make that much in the DVD market then. I don't know, or on demand. I don't know what we're doing now.
Yeah. Unless it becomes some cult classic or something, but
I can't even drink. I can't think of, like, what would I drink to it? Like, every time Lucy Hale bugged out her eyes, I don't know. Like, what would I? There really wasn't anything that stands out.
Yeah. So I actually give it. I gave it 6 stars out of 10 for trying. You know.
Okay. A D for trying.
Yeah.
it passed, barely.
It passed for, you know. Let's see. acting wise, the acting wasn't really, you know, great. Didn't stand out. I didn't feel anybody, you know, probably for the exception of the guy that was playing the dad, the war hero dad. He was, you know, he was pretty solid. Gonna give a shout out to Kim Coates, who played the villain in the scene where he had the brothers, and he was like, "Well, go show me where, you know, where the money's at." Mm-hmm. You know, that guy was pretty evil. You know, so he played a good villain. But other than that, I think if I had a, you know, just overall, like I said, I've seen worse. Probably my overall rating would be like a 5.5
out of 10. I think I'd go, you said IMDb was a 4.9. I'll give it a 5. A 5 even.
And I have to say, I did see it twice. Well, almost twice.
Because yeah, I fell asleep and you had to watch it again with me, huh?
At least part of it. So
that's a requirement in order to do the podcast. You actually have to finish the film, so yeah.
Yeah, so when you fall asleep watching, you know, the movie, I kind of have to rewatch it again, so I get, you know.
Did you fall asleep too the first time?
No.
Oh, just me, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I usually see things through, so. But, so you give it a 5, I give it a 5.5. Mm-hmm. If somebody were to pay you money, would you watch it again?
No.
No? Oh, okay.
No. I couldn't do that again.
Depends how much you're going to pay me to watch it again.
Now, the other film we're going to talk about on our next podcast, that one I would watch again. I definitely will actually want to watch it again because I think there's things I missed.
Yeah. All right. I think we've exhausted everything that we can talk about about Fantasy Island.
Yep.
So, like I said, I'm glad that you're back. I'm happy that you're back on the show.
Yep.
Follow us on Facebook. You know, like our page. You know, have your friends like the page. Give us your thoughts of what you thought about Fantasy Island. You know, whether you liked it or didn't like it, you know, let us know why you didn't like it, if you didn't like it. Don't forget to follow us on Apple iTunes, TuneIn, Spotify.
Yep.
And, yeah, just, you know, give us a like. So.
All right, horror fans, good night. Sweet dreams. Don't let the bed bugs bite.
And stay groovy.
Yeah.